Welcome back to another episode of Better Said Than Written, the podcast supplement to Arts of Cultures, where I make a personal connection to today's trending topics. I'm your host, Tamika Cody. Now in this episode, the topic isn't currently trending, but I think it should be. As more and more people are searching for alternative ways to naturally cure their ailments, holistic healthcare is on the rise. And joining me on this episode of Better Said Than Written is holistic health practitioner Danica Lori. Danica will discuss the benefits of holistic care and knowing when it's time to head to the medical practitioner. Danica will also share her personal story of how she lost a loved one to AIDS and their fight to live a little while longer through holistic healing. Danica, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Great. I'm glad you're here. So I met you a while back. A lot has happened, but before we get into what happened, I want you to explain to the audience what holistic health is and what do you do?
Sure. So holistic health is basically when you take into consideration the whole individual, that being emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual. Gosh, I should say energetic as well. Rather than just looking at symptoms as to what's going on with health. Mm-hmm. So with holistic health, it's a wide range of different modalities that address these different areas of the person's life. But no matter what modality you go to, they're still going to look into, you know, the other areas. You know, if you go to someone for emotional help, they're going to look at mental, physical, spiritual, energetic, right. You know, and vice versa all the way around.
So the holistic health, you're looking within the spirit and...
Yes.
Okay, got it. All right, so how does one become certified in holistic healthcare?
So most people may or may not know that anything dealing with natural health or natural medicine is an unregulated field. And so you have a lot of different choices where you can go, though. So you have some people who have either been, you know, maybe they've been doing the work for... I think I'll use, you know, herbalist as an example. If you're someone who wants to become an herbalist, you may want to find someone who has experience in that.
Right. So what's an herbalist, if you don't mind?
Herbalist is someone who uses herbs, you know, to bring balance in the physical body.
Got it.
A person, and they'll make herbal tinctures and just all of these different doodads, salves, you know, to help the body to heal or whatever it is. But you want to find someone who has experience, you know, more than 20 years experience, hands-on. I think the easiest way to really explain it is, you know how they have like the technical colleges where you go and you get your hands-on learning, hands-on training?
Yeah.
I feel like with holistic medicine that it's more so along those lines, you know,
So you said that you had mentioned it takes a lot of work and education and experience to become a holistic practitioner. So for those out there listening and they're like, I want to know what it's like, you know, maybe I want to have a holistic healing. What are some of the questions or, you know, what should the average person look out for when they're seeking out someone to heal them in a holistic way?
Well, most of them should have something where you have to do the applied work on yourself.
Meaning?
In other words, you know, you can't necessarily help anyone else to heal if you haven't done it for yourself.
Got it. Okay.
You know, and you gain a lot of experience and a lot of information by going through the process yourself. This is really the process where you really come to know and experience, you know, what's going on. So that way you can relate to the other people that you, you know, your potential clients. That's the main thing. And then second thing is you want to see if they have... You know, how much experience does the teacher have?
Right. So what kind of questions should we ask the teacher?
Yeah. Where did they get their start? You know, who taught them? You know, what are some of the things that that people didn't tell them that they had to learn on their own? You know, maybe they didn't know it was something that they needed to know. You know, what are some of the things to look out for? What are the things that you won't find in books? You know, you can read as many books as you want to, but the true wisdom as far as like how to do that work, and I'll just say, matter of fact, this time I'll go with aromatherapy since that's what I went to school for.
Okay.
Yeah, I was very happy that I actually went and worked with a lady. She was actually from the UK. In the UK, it's normal. You know, it's just what they, you know, what they do. You know, aromatherapy, even the word aromatherapy, it was keyed and termed out there
in
the UK.
Oh, I didn't know that. Interesting.
You know, so they have their, it's a formal, you know, formal practice.
Okay.
So this lady came from there. She'd been, you know, an aromatherapist for over 30 years.
Right.
And she started her own certification program. To get certified just means that you completed someone's training.
Got it.
You
okay.
know. And so we had hands-on training with that. But there were things in books that you're, you know, there are things that she taught us that you would not find in the books, how to blend the oils, what particular oils blend better together, how many, you know, drops, you know, of each oil you should use, you know, which they don't necessarily go into that with a lot of books. If you get a book on tea tree oil or peppermint or lavender, they don't say, well, you know, you want to use 7 drops or 6 drops or, you know, or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. That, because it sounds like that would be important because you don't want to.
It's extremely important.
Don't want to burn your skin or whatever.
Dosage. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for people out there listening, they're probably thinking, well, gosh, holistic healing, I don't know exactly what to ask them or what to look out for. But at the same time, they should, do you think that they should go with their gut if it feels right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
By all means, do that. Do some research now. I mean, things are different now. We're in 2015. I remember, gosh, I got started back in 2002. Mm. There was a lot of stuff that we couldn't find back then, but now it's becoming more and more common. Mm-hmm. And they say probably like 1 in every 3 people are using natural medicine. And it is a growing field.
Okay.
It is, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure it's a $1 billion industry.
Wow. So what inspired you to get into holistic health?
So after everything happened with the trade towers,
okay,
and I left because I was like, y'all crazy up here.
Yeah.
And I went down to Atlanta, and around that time I was working in the legal field. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, I was a litigation legal secretary. I had did that for like well over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like it. I mean, it was good money. It paid the bills.
Mm-hmm.
But I was miserable. And then I was dealing with, you know, tendonitis and all of that from
typing
nonstop. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't fun anymore. It wasn't fun. And I could not find a job for like 3 months, which was unheard of in the field back then. But we just had everything that happened with the World Trade Center.
Right.
So, you know, the economy was shot. Mm-hmm. It really, really was. People don't realize it was really, that's where it was. Everything just took a turn for the worse with the economy. So I had to think back to the things that I always had a love for. And around that time, I was working with oils. They were probably more synthetic than natural.
Okay.
And so I wanted to do some official training with it because I really felt drawn to it. And then as I got into the training, I realized that I was like, oh my God, I'm so intrigued, you know, and this is really the study of plants, because with aromatherapy, you know, the essential oil is actually the blood or the life of the plant itself.
Okay.
It's highly concentrated.
Right.
And I just became more and more intrigued the more that I learned about it.
Got it. So you trained yourself, you went to workshops, you took classes, you became certified.
That one, I actually went to a school for that
one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was my very first, you know, journey. But as I learned that the plants have like emotional characteristics, mental characteristics, energetic and spiritual. I was like, oh, I thought we were just dealing with physical health.
Right.
I had no idea.
Everything's in
and it place. Just, that was it. I was, it was like a kid in a candy store, and I just kept going. I just kept going deeper.
So as you went deeper, how did the holistic health journey incorporate into your personal life?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. My son, who's now 14 at the time, when he was about 1.5 to 2 years old, he used to have a lot of problems with ear infections. And then he also broke out with eczema. And it was like my first time, like, what is this?
We need to talk because I have eczema like all the time.
So, but he ended up becoming really sick. He had a fever. It wouldn't go away. The doctors couldn't figure out what was going on around that time. They were just giving us different kinds of antibiotics and just saying, here, try this for like a week. And then come back. And I went through that for about a month.
Okay.
And it was hard because I had to take time off from work. You know, in the legal field, that's really difficult.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult thing to do. And I was, you know, a single parent around then as well. I got tired of, it's like you're experimenting on your child. Well, let's try this and see if this helps. Because whatever it was, it would not take the ear infection away.
Mm-hmm.
He was not responding. And so
and antibiotics wasn't helping
because that's what they were giving us. We were trying a different antibiotic like every week.
Right.
And nothing was working. You know, he was, you know, just crying a lot. You know, this is an ear infection.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to make my oils. I'm going to use my oils. And I think around that time I decided to try some. They had like these little tablets, these
They're like really, really tiny white tablets. I know
the homeopathy, if I'm saying it. I never know if I say that word right. But the homeopathy tablets, you know, and I used that, and then I used my essential oils and started putting it directly in his ear.
Okay.
I had to do something, and I got that advice again from a lady who have been an aromatherapist and a naturopathic doctor for over 25 years. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't find it in the books to put the actual essential oil directly in the air. You're always told to dilute it. Right. So this is where that having access to someone who has years of experience and that wisdom really comes into play. So I did that, took dairy out of his diet because she told me, well, if he has eczema, there's some kind of a reaction. You're going to have to experiment with the food. You know, when you're dealing with allopathic medicine, they don't necessarily tell you to look at what you're eating. Mm. And so when I took out the dairy, it was like everything just went back to normal.
Oh, okay.
I'm so serious. Even the skin got better. I mean, I ended up making some products, some natural products for him with the it wasn't just shea butter. I had a nice little blend, but I added my oils in.
Yeah.
And as soon as you would massage the oil on the skin, it would go back to looking normal.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's been some years since I made
okay,
that.
Okay, we need to talk after this podcast.
That was my first aromatherapy line because I used to make the products. But yeah, and that's what happened. And I was like, yo, this stuff really worked.
Yes.
And that was your personal. I need to really incorporate this into my personal life more.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I know that recently you went through an ordeal mm-hmm. with your youngest, right?
Your daughter. My youngest daughter, yes.
And I don't mean to go off sidebar, but mm-hmm. I really want us to discuss this because we talked about this before the show started. And your daughter had MRSA. Talk to me about where the holistic healing came in with the MRSA. And for those, let me just stop here. For those people out there who don't know what MRSA is, I just learned what it is, but Danica could explain it a lot better.
So first of all, I didn't know that that's what she had.
Okay.
She was complaining about pain. And, you know, I feel like as mothers, as parents, you know, and I'm even going to say for people who don't have kids, you have to be in tune with your mm-hmm. body enough to know what's normal and what's not normal, especially when it comes to pain. You know, if there's a degree of pain and you're like, oh my God, this is excruciating, that is a sign that something is absolutely wrong and way off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what ended up happening with her. Before she went in, you know, I did kind of the basic, okay, let's put some ice on it and elevate her leg, thinking that that would help. Mm-hmm. And it didn't change anything.
Right. So hold on 1 second. So, just so people
can hear.
So, your daughter had something wrong with her foot.
Her knee.
And then, you know, it was a little bit difficult for her to walk.
She could not. Yeah.
And that's why you elevated the leg, put ice on it. And then you took her to the doctor after, you know, a doctor was like,
a day. I don't even think it was a day. It was like, we just made it to like the wee hours of the morning.
Right. Right. And, you know. And you were just like, you know, something is wrong with my kid. Let's figure this out. And then go ahead.
Yeah. And then they just told me to put some ice,
put some ice on it.
Well, I did that already, but why is she in pain?
Right. Exactly.
You know, and just to explain, you know, like around that time, we didn't know what it was. There hadn't been any blood testing or anything done. Mm-hmm. They did x-rays and he just said it was soft tissue swelling, you know, around the joints. But, you mm-hmm. know, in that doctor's mind, it was just a knee injury that she probably did that she didn't remember.
Remember how she got
it. But where mm-hmm. the holistic health came in at, you know, and I will say the holistic health experience mm-hmm. for me, because I've worked on so many people, is just paying attention to the body itself.
Right, right.
And so it was the pain that pushed me and it kept, that made me to keep taking her back to mm-hmm. the emergency room. If she wasn't in pain, she could have died from MRSA, because that eventually would have turned into sepsis, which is blood poisoning. My mom, you know, passed away from that, ultimately.
Right.
But it was the pain. The pain was what triggered the, no, something's wrong. This is not a regular knee injury. There's no way you can be in this much pain.
Exactly.
And then the pain meds not work.
Yeah.
So after they did the testing and found out that it was MRSA. And MRSA is apparently this strain of bacteria. I think I've heard them use this really long word, and it starts with staph.
Right. So. it's like a staph infection.
Yes. Okay. And it's really, really aggressive, and it's supposedly resistant to most antibiotics. And it's really aggressive. I have mm-hmm. to say that. You know, I don't know how to put emphasis on that.
I'll definitely put a link for those out there interested. There will be a link that's associated with this podcast explaining some of the topics that we're talking about today and what MRSA is exactly. Mm-hmm. I've heard of it, you know, like I said on NPR, but I've never met anyone in person who actually
had it.
So once So now she's kind of cured from it, right? She's still on antibiotics.
She's still on antibiotics. They're doing everything right now to make sure that the bacteria doesn't return.
Right.
Because it was an infection in her bones that mm-hmm. spread to her blood.
Right. And so now, what are you doing as far as holistic care to help her through the rest of the process?
So the first thing, and I kind of want to rewind.
If you want to get some water, go ahead.
Take a little sip.
So I don't want them to think that I'm making you suffer on air.
So the first thing that I did was I spoke to the doctors about her having probiotics, because over 60% of your immune system is in the lining of your gut. And I know this because I used to administer colonics, which is where you use, you know, a water irrigation to clean out the colon. Mm-hmm. So that's why I just so happened to know.
Right.
Oh, if we're doing antibiotics, that's going to wipe out the good bacteria as well. Mm-hmm. You don't want to leave, you know, but that's what antibiotics do.
Right.
So that was the first step. And she did have, you know, I had mentioned to you earlier about her having issues with her stomach as well. And her not really wanting to eat. So what I did get her was some miso soup.
Oh,
it's fermented. Anything that's fermented has good bacteria.
So I love miso soup. Yes. But I didn't realize that it was actually really, really good for me.
It's fermented. So you can't go wrong
because of
the
seaweed and the...
the miso itself.
The miso.
What is the miso itself? So the miso itself, that's soybean paste.
Okay.
But it's fermented soybean paste. And then you add the hot water, you know, to make it into the soup, and you add the seaweed.
Okay.
You know, to it also. It's just anything fermented is the bomb, because it helps your body to replenish the good flora.
Okay, so you hear that, guys. Miso soup is the bomb to keep you healthy and your insides healthy.
Because at the hospital, you know, they're not having miso soup. Yeah, they're expecting her to eat hospital food, but everything on the tray was sugar-based. So the sugar compromises your immune system.
Right. Duh. Okay.
And I'm like, you guys should know this.
They don't know that.
So they're not connecting food to the body. So again, this is all still holistic, because we're looking at, well, what did you eat?
Right.
To me, that's just common sense.
Okay.
Why am I going to give her all of this apple juice? You got Jello, all of these carbs.
Well, I'm going to call you. If anything happens to me and my family, I'm going to call you and be like, I don't want the hospital food. Whatever Danica brings, that's what we're going to get.
The miso soup helped her
that.
A lot.
Okay.
She was drinking her miso soup.
Good.
I got the probiotics, and this is what helped to reduce the pain. But again, with her being on three different antibiotics, this is also what is helping her immune system stay strong, because the antibiotics are supposed to work in partnership with the immune system, basically. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if you're someone who hasn't been doing anything for your immune system, please do.
Mm-hmm. And you know, booster shots isn't enough, right?
Yeah, well, booster shots don't, are you talking about for the vaccines?
Yeah.
You know, because they're supposedly there to help build up the antibodies.
Right.
But if you think about it, the people are still getting sick.
Right.
And so people are going back and forth to the hospital or to the doctor, back and forth to the doctor to get what? More antibiotics, which is doing what? It's decreasing the good bacteria in the body. So you have to have self-knowledge and know, okay, I need to do something to build up my immune system, like right now. And I have to watch what I'm eating as well. So, you know, you want to get your micronutrients. You want to get your, you know, get all your green leafy veggies. Those help. And, you know, get your fruits. You know, I mean, you really have to eat a balanced diet, and you have to know what works for you.
Right.
You know.
So now your daughter she's home.
She's home.
She's doing better. Mm-hmm. She's on some form of antibiotics.
She is. She's down to one now instead of three. I still have her on a probiotics, which I know is helping. Right. I also have some herbal tinctures that I have her on that are also immune boosters and that work excellent. You know, and then I was also mentioning the fact that I'm looking into having her take lion's mane, which is a type of mushroom that really helps with the immune system. And most of the mushrooms, especially if you can get the tinctures, they're antivirals, antibiotics, antimicrobials, anti-inflammatories. I mean, literally all of those things.
Explain a little, because we talked briefly about the mushrooms before we start recording, but explain to the audience a little bit more about the mushrooms. I'm just so fascinated.
So a lot of people besides eating them, you know, they have like some really great health benefits that you're not going to get from eating them. From what I understand, and I only know this from, you know, when I was doing my permaculture training, which is a whole nother topic, and they had a person that was, you know, like a mycologist that came in. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll just say, if he wasn't a mycologist, he did a lot of work, you know, with mycologists.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I mean, you can eat the mushrooms and you can still get the health benefits from them.
Right.
But in order to get you know, get to the point where you're getting these polysaccharides. They spoke a lot about the polysaccharides, and I feel really bad because I don't even remember how to define it. It's something real simple that I could probably Google. But
okay.
Anyway, you had to go through this process. You had to, like, take it through the process of heat, you know, and it was like this three-step process that they would do to extract, you know, the good stuff that you're not going to get from eating it and cooking it.
Right. Okay.
So they made a tincture out of it. It's a mushroom tincture.
What's a tincture? What does that mean?
So a tincture basically is like, let's see, if you're basically taking something and you're letting it soak, you know, in water, or you're taking it through a process that includes some kind of a liquid. So like, say, to make an herbal tincture, they may have to let the herb soak in water, and then maybe, you know, you have to, you know, put it on a stove and let it, you know, bring it to a boil, and then
let it steep. So it's like brewing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So because it's going to draw. It's basically a process of extracting the good stuff.
Got it. And then you drink the good stuff.
And then you drink the good. Got it. But you don't use it because it's going to be concentrated. You're just going to use drops of it.
Oh, okay. Because I was about to go and get something, and then be like,
"Oh,
why is it not working?"
And some of them may, you know, and some of them may, you know, may include like using, you know, like the alcohols, you know, like using some kind of an alcohol that's going to draw out some other, you know, constituents, you know, in there as well. So I'm sure there's a lot of stuff I'm not mentioning. People have different ways, you know, of making the herbal tinctures. That is one way. Some will use oil.
Okay.
You know, oil as well, because that helps to draw out like the main active, you know, ingredient or whatever in the plant or the herb or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. So you're a mom. Duh. You know that.
Mommy.
You're a mommy.
Grandma.
And so with your grandmother?
I am a grandmother.
Okay. We're not going to talk about grandparents right now. So we're going to stick to... Why did you tell me your grandmother?
I'm sorry.
Know that. Okay. And I always like to say that mothers has this intuition, right? But I know that you have a mother's intuition as well as
intuition.
Yes. You know, as a holistic healer, sometimes you'll use your intuition to try to
all the time,
right? So, at what point with your daughter did you realize, okay, that you can't use your intuition, not your mother intuition, but your
well you're always going to be able to use your intuition, because this is just basically like having I don't know if you've heard people use the word discernment, to be able to discern what's going on.
Okay.
And the fact is, a lot of people are able to discern, and they don't, whether they're aware of it or not, they're going to be using a fraction of their intuition.
Okay.
Intuition is not something that's like far-fetched and way out there. It is actually something that exists within your enteric nervous system. Mm-hmm. The enteric nervous system, again, is in the lining of the gut. So when you hear people say to trust your gut, because you got that
literally
feeling,
speaking,
intuition is literally a part of who you are.
Right.
It's not something that we're just imagining. You're feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
So with my daughter, you know, I'm looking, you know, I don't know if you want me to go into the rest of, you know, what I do and how I do my work.
I know what you do. They don't know what you do. Because so when we first met, you told me, and I was like, spot on.
So my work entails me working with consciousness. Mm-hmm. I used to just work with energy, you know, such as like, say, doing Reiki, you know, or energy medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just kind of graduated to working with consciousness. Consciousness is something that just is. It can't be created like beliefs, you know. So when you have belief systems, it's because you can say, well, this is what I want to believe. This is what I don't believe in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're choosing. Consciousness just is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Point blank.
You know, it's pure awareness,
right.
You know, basically. So I have different, you know, healing modalities that were developed, you know, and basically working with people's consciousness as well as their belief systems, you know. But in addition to having these modalities that I use, I also have, you know, my I don't like to call them spiritual abilities, but I'll do that because people are probably used to it along those lines.
Well, what would you call, so you don't want to use the term spiritual abilities,
but
what would you call it for yourself?
Because I feel like it's naturally a part of who we are.
Okay.
You know, like,
but not everybody's tuned into it.
You know, like they'll
talk,
they are. People are, because you can, when you go into a restaurant or like a club or somebody's house, you're going to say whether you're feeling it or not.
I see.
Why do we say we're feeling it? So, you know, on an unconscious level, we understand that we're dealing with energy here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either you feeling my vibe.
Right.
And why are we saying vibe?
Exactly.
That's short for vibration.
Got it. Okay.
You know,
that makes sense.
So you are. You may get the unction to call somebody. Yo.
I was thinking about, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they were like, I was just thinking about you. Uh-huh. If you've ever done that, you just picked them up psychically.
Got it.
You know, so okay. That's why I say it's just a part of who we are. It's just a question of who's taking time to actually develop the skill with it.
Okay.
You know, that's really it.
So back with your daughter and so the intuition.
Knowing when to. Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. So again, it was the pain. You know, it was definitely the pain. I did do a little energy work at first with her left leg. She seemed to be fine, but with her right ankle, it was worse. It made it worse.
Oh,
and
wow.
You have to know when to stop and when and say, okay, what else is going on?
And didn't you have other people who are in your field? They were also, and then you had to tell them to stop as well?
Yeah. Well, when I first started doing it, nobody else knew what was going on. I didn't sound the alarm until like the next day.
Okay. All right. No.
I didn't sound the alarm until the next day. It was just me going, okay, wait a minute. And then when that happens, then what I'll do is I'll use, you know, my clairvoyance, and I'll look and see. And that's when I was like, this is foreign.
Right.
You know, this is definitely foreign, and it's really aggressive.
And what did you see?
I think it's more so, it's more so of what I felt.
Okay.
Because it felt foreign. Like, you know what a person's energy feels like. For example, you know, like if you have one friend versus another friend, there's a certain way that they carry themselves, their character, they feel a certain kind of way or whatever, right? So, you know, just taking that to the next level when it comes to the body, the body itself, whether it's the organs or the glands or whatever it has, what's called an energetic signature.
Mm-hmm.
So my, you know, a person on a regular basis, they can feel normal, but once it felt like it was something that did not belong there.
Got it.
And that's what made me go, okay, no, I have to really push to get her into the hospital and get them to, you know, to do more than an x-ray.
Right.
And that's what happened with the first doctor. So they did and found something when they did the blood work, you know. And so then from that point forward, it was just helping her to get through the pain until, you know, she could get the surgery, a lot of talking. The other area where the holistic health comes in is because I also teach people how to work with the consciousness of the body.
Right.
And so I had to teach my daughter how to work with the consciousness of the body. I had to teach her how to direct her power of breath. Breath is pure life force energy.
Mm-hmm.
You can use that to focus on any part of your body to reduce pain. But not only that, but to just take it into, to reprogram it, so to say.
Right, right.
You know, and then not only that, but visualization, because there was a point where I had to tell her, okay, this is what you're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
And look, this is my baby was screaming and hollering.
And she's 10,
I'm
right?
Like, look, this is what we got to do. We trying to get out of this joint. Seriously, like, look.
Yes.
Look, this
you're
is
gonna
how it is.
You're going to see yourself walking, and you're going to see yourself at home, and you're going to see yourself having a normal
all
life.
All of that. Okay. And it was at one point where it was with her with the stomach. Mm-hmm. That's what it was with the stomach. And because the morphine slows down the peristalsis, which is what, you know, helps the peristalsis is in the lining of the gut.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually what helps the body to release and move the fecal matter. Because, you know, the colon is a muscle.
Right.
So anyway, it slows it down. She wasn't really eating. So she just had a lot of flatulence and it was causing her pain. Everybody knows that if you have a lot of gas, it can really cause you pain. People thought they've had heart attacks with it just being gas. Yeah. So I had to teach her, you know, she was like, I don't know how to burp.
Oh, poor baby.
I had to make her visualize it.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things I did, and it finally started to release and she started to burp, and I was helping.
Good.
And then I was showing her like where on the body to press in, you know, to help the body to release. I mean, she went through some serious mind over matter training, some energy training. She had to learn how to use the power of her breath, like all at that same time as well. I mean, she got, that was like some boot camp.
That's some boot camp for a young child who's 10.
Yes.
10, you guys.
And so, she did that.
And that's good.
She did that.
And that's just to go to show for those out there listening that the holistic health and the energy and, you know, the positivity, there's no age barrier.
Exactly.
You could teach your children how to envision themselves getting better and seeing where they want to go. So now I want to shift gears to your mother.
Yes.
Because the story is a little bit, you know, connected. Mm-hmm. I think very much connected, not just because she's your mother, but your mother was also a holistic healer, correct? Did I get that right?
Yeah, and my mom more so... Well, she did more spiritual work. So I'm going to, because mom was so spiritual, I'm going to just call her.
She was
just... Man, that's every, anybody who met my mama, that was it.
Okay.
I'm going to really say she was a spiritual healer. She, you know, she was an evangelist. Mm-hmm. That was her thing. Very strong faith.
Yes. So I wanted to talk about your experience about losing your mother, because she was so headstrong with her spirituality.
Yes.
We already topped it off at the top of the show, talking about you losing your mother to AIDS.
Yes.
And what I learned is that you didn't know, she didn't tell anybody
exactly
that she had AIDS. So, you know, at what point, and she was listening to her spirit, her other spiritual healers, her other spiritual circle of friends, and mm-hmm, right?
Yes.
So, and by the time you came in, I'm just trying to recall the story before before the mm-hmm. programming. By the time you came in, you were like, nah, you really need to go to the hospital. We need to put all of our other stuff away and go to the hospital. So, you know, walk me through, we don't have to go through the whole entire thing, but just walk us through what that day was like when you walked in and you realized that it was more than just...
Yes.
What it,
and, yeah. And just, and I just want to kind of explain to people how it all ties in, you know, the story with my daughter and my mom. Mm-hmm. One is catching something early on. You know, with my daughter, it was the MRSA, and we did catch that early on. Mm-hmm. You know, the doctors got on it right away. They didn't waste any time. It was a children's hospital. They got right on it. Okay. So
yeah, got
you
it.
Can, when you catch something early on, mm-hmm. then you can easily incorporate everything else and you can still get results.
Right. Medication and holistic healing. And
yes.
Got it.
You know, and well, I guess what I'm, you can still get more of the holistic health. Not got saying it. That we, you know, that the medicine didn't help, but just saying you got to know when mm-hmm. to go and get the medicine. So mm-hmm. for my daughter, catching that early on was perfect. And yes, incorporating the holistic, you know, health stuff, you know, it was okay. We're good to go.
Right.
With moms, this is the, she was at the end of the line with AIDS. Like if you know how with cancer, they have different stages.
Yes.
We'll say mom's was like in the last stage of AIDS, but this is the unbeknownst to the family.
Right. Because she didn't tell anyone.
Because she didn't tell anyone. And so the first thing that I feel is important to explain is that my mom had, like over the years, she was having very strange illnesses that she was crediting to like the spiritual world and like say spiritual warfare and things on that level mm-hmm. because of the kind of work that she did was really intense. Mm-hmm. So she was accrediting it to that. And but I was still looking at her body and going, okay, you said you're dealing what? Okay, yeah. This sounds to me like your body's really acidic. We need to make it more alkaline right now, and I need you to do more green, leafy green veggies. But I also need you to like maybe get some alfalfa, mm-hmm.
I don't know
all of the things. Chlorophyll.
Got
thank
it.
You.
Okay.
Chlorophyll. These are all of the things that help the body to become more alkaline because disease flourishes in an acidic body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if mm-hmm. I'm looking at you and you're talking about how your body's reacting or the stomach is doing that, and I'm like, mm-hmm. your inner ecology is off.
Right.
And we have to bring that back to balance. And so those are the things that I encouraged her to do. And at that time, I didn't live in the same state. And so with my mom, she called me up, you know, one night and was saying how she was having problems breathing, which that was highly unusual. We've never had that problem with mom. But again, when I saw her, I had just moved back into the state and I had just moved, relocated from Seattle to New Jersey. And when I saw her, I saw how much weight she had lost. This is really important for people to understand, especially with AIDS, you know, or any type of a terminal illness. You look at weight, if they lose a lot of weight, that's a key factor that something major is going on with their health. You know, and I did learn that from the actual doctors and nurses, by the way. But I was like, oh my God, you're like skin and bones. Yeah. What happened? And then the skin looked different. My mom has always had, she used to have like just the most beautiful chocolate skin.
Yeah.
Mom always had beautiful chocolate skin, but then it was like parts of her body now where it looked like alligator skin. And I was like,
oh, wow.
This is some major dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing that I noticed right away was, Mama, you're dehydrated. Mm-hmm. I know dehydration. Dehydration will kill you, you know, kind of thing. And because
she still wasn't saying what was really wrong with her.
Well, I don't even think at that time, to be honest with you, because that never came into picture. I believe that, one, she didn't take it into consideration. And certain I don't even know if she was thinking about it on a regular basis. I think she put it out of her mind because she's old school. And you right. start talking to a lot of people that's old school or from that baby boomer generation one, they don't like going to the doctors and to the hospital. Mm. You know, they just, that's not their thing. They're, God got me.
Right.
I believe, I have faith strong enough. I know God got me. God is going to take care of me. That's all I need. Or all I need is Jesus. You know, whatever it is, That's old school. And that's basically how my mom was.
Got it.
You know, so when I saw her, you know, and I was like, okay, yeah, we got to go to the hospital. She's like, I ain't going to no hospital. Man, I went through it.
And you took her to the hospital.
To get her to the hospital the first go round because of what was going on with her chest. They just thought it was pneumonia. Mm. And the x-rays didn't show that it was pneumonia. I understand why now, you know, from a doctor who had been in the field for quite some time, but the doctors at the emergency room, they didn't know.
Oh, I see.
And so that's the other thing that you all want to keep in, take into consideration. There are a lot of doctors out there. You have some that really don't have that much experience. Mm-hmm. And then you have some that are really, really good. They know what they're doing. We've just been blessed in our life because even with my daughter, she ended up getting like the head doctors, you know, when you get the head doctor that knows the stuff, you're good to go.
And so it's a matter of actually getting in front of them.
Yeah. We didn't get to that doctor until I took her to the other hospital and it was down the line of what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, but I had to convince her to go to the hospital. First go around, same thing. Mm-hmm. It's no pneumonia, but you should follow up, you know, with your PCP. That's what they were saying about my mom, you know, don't wait too long. You know, and I was like, okay. So it was around the time where there was a snowstorm, because that was, we're in 2015, 2014 was, January 2014 is when she died. But around that winter, we kind of had some bad storms.
I remember that. Mm-hmm.
And so she was at my house. I actually brought her back to my house for a few days, did what I could to rehydrate her. Mm-hmm. Electrolytes are really important. You know, when you're trying to rehydrate, they can't just drink water. So actually I had her on some coconut water.
Oh, good.
You know, if you don't have coconut water, you add some lemon or some lime and that helps, you know, that actually, knows your electrolytes basically. So I had her on that and was trying to get her to drink more soup. But I just noticed that she couldn't even control her body's faculty. She couldn't control it at all. And I was like, okay, that's weird. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it took a couple of times. Because I'd be like, Mama, you got to let me know when you need to go to the restroom or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she would say, oh, I'm good. And then when I would come up and check on her, she didn't even realize, you know, what was going on with her own body.
Wow.
You know, so when you have certain signs like that, you have to go, okay, wait a minute, something more is going on.
Right.
And during that time, she was speaking to a young lady who was telling her, all you need is Reiki. Reiki is it's a non-invasive energy healing technique, you know, that's, you know, Japanese based basically.
Right. Yeah.
And they do use it in hospitals now. It's way more popular, you know, but you gotta know when to use it and when to set it down.
Right.
Again, I just went through that with my daughter.
Right.
Okay. When to use the energy, you know, and when to set it down.
And you told your mom's Reiki specialist is.
Well, I'm a Reiki master myself. I've been doing this since 2002.
Right.
I think the other lady, she was new with it.
Ah, okay.
She was
and
new.
She didn't know when to put it down.
And she didn't know me.
Okay.
Because if she knew me, she would have kept her mouth shut. Because my mom was looking for someone who would basically go along with what she was saying. I don't need to go. And so when she contacted her, she was like, my daughter doesn't have enough faith. My daughter doesn't believe. And I was like, are you for real?
Right.
Like, Moms, you calling me? What? And homegirl was like, oh, she just doesn't know anything about health. She doesn't know anything about spirituality. She doesn't know anything. And I'm sitting right there, and I had to snatch the phone and be like, honey,
you don't know.
Yeah, Google me, please.
Yes, Google her, please. When I first met Danica, there was just a light for me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this woman is definitely somebody who, the energy for me, it was just love her, need her in my life. So taking notes and stuff and putting her in my pocket. But I really feel that when people make those judgment calls, you know, it's like, have you ever sat in the room with this person feel the vibe?
Yes.
To really understand and actually talk with this, listen to what this other person has to say and get the educate, you know, hear how they've been educated. Mm-hmm. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
But it was, my mom was strongly believing in this lady.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady was insisting that all she needed to do was some Reiki and take a clary sage bath and that this was going to get rid of whatever. Because in their mind, they're like, this is a spiritual attack. And I'm like, goodness. Yo, I'm looking at you. We need to get you back to the hospital. Because I was trying to get her to go back and was just dealing with the same thing. And she was like, I just have to wait for the stuff to come in. I was like, Mama, we can't wait. The girl hadn't even sent it yet anyway, to find out. But it was, I was trying to get her to come back into, okay, we have to deal with the physical. Mm-hmm. We can't ignore the physical and only focus on the spiritual or like this holistic method. Because at that point it was like, no, this is, something is deteriorating too fast. Mm-hmm. And this is, I appreciate modern medicine because I understand the role that it plays. Mm-hmm. But you got to know, like, again, you got to know when to go.
Right.
You got to know when to go.
Exactly. So you took Mom to the hospital again.
Yes.
Right. And then
different hospital.
Different hospital. And when did you learn that she actually had AIDS?
Okay. So we got her in there like on a, what day was that? It was like a Thursday. Mm-hmm. The doctors were going to run all of these tests because my mom was 97 pounds. I didn't even know she was 97. I'm thinking she's like 115.
Wow.
She was my height, my build. Mm-hmm. You know, and for her to go down to 97 pounds is not a good thing. And that was an alarm for them. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she can't breathe. What's going on? Why is her chest hurting? So we had the cardiologist. They basically had all of the specialists come in and they ran all of these tests. I didn't find out that it was AIDS until almost a week later, like 2 days before she died.
Wow.
But a lot of that was because she wouldn't sign the health proxy forms and are not necessarily obligated to share information, you know, if there aren't certain forms that are signed, you know, because she's an adult and they're just doing certain things. The specialist didn't come back and talk to me. Nobody talked to me. I kept calling. I was asking. I couldn't get any information.
Right.
And it wasn't until, like I said, 2 days before she died that I found out and I was thrown back. Like, what do you mean she got AIDS? AIDS what? Like, what you mean like from AIDS? HIV from like, like, you know, my mama got AIDS?
Right. So did you ever find out how she contracted it or when she contracted it?
Well, I know, you know, me and my little brother discussed it because there was a fella that she was dealing with that was a drug abuser. So, you know, more than likely, you know, because that's the only other person that she had dealt with.
And at what year did she? Because I think
that was a long time ago. Gosh, it was because she had it for 12
years.
So let's see. I left. It was about 2001, 2002 is when she contracted it. Right around the time that I moved.
Right.
Or probably, or when she found out. Yeah. Because I found some. You know, some
when you were cleaning out her house, you found the documents and you were like, oh, this is when she contracted it. Mm-hmm. And then you guys pieced it together on who it could have been from.
Yeah.
Got it.
Because that was the only person she was dealing with at that time.
And how old was she at that time?
Let's see. When she died, she was 59. So 59 minus 12, that's what, 47? Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Around there. Okay. So I just wanted to read some stats to you. For those out there who's listening, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, a growing number of people age 50 and older in the United States are living with HIV infection. That number is surprising because you would think that at your mother's age, 47, she would protect herself, right? Yeah. Another thing, people aged 55 and older accounted for over one quarter, 26% of 313,000, more than 313,000 of the estimated 1.2 million people living with HIV infection in the United States in 2011. And that's according to the CDC. So I see you shaking your head. Do not tear up.
We
do not
tear up
because I do not have any tissues.
Oh, wait, no,
I
found some. Right here.
I got some. Okay. Hearing those numbers. And knowing that your mother is part of the statistics, what message do you have out there for people who, you know, for the older folks, for the younger folks, who need to take better care of themselves?
I had, it was really serious to me when I did find out because I thought about the clients that I came across that were diagnosed with HIV that didn't do anything about it, wouldn't tell their family, and I did my best to convince them. I was dealing with it on a personal level, but I immediately went back to the people that I had worked with over the years that would not go and get help. They wouldn't tell any, and they wanted to keep it a secret from their family. Mm-hmm. It's just, you will suffer if you do not get help. I don't care what you do to get help. You can do holistic medicine. You can do allopathic medicine. There's a lot of different things that you can do. The earlier, as soon as you find out, is when you want to start to get the help.
Right.
Do not wait until it's like, you know, it's just like if you got a cut. If
right.
you got a cut on your arm, you want to take care of it right away. You won't wait, let it get infected, let it get worse. Now
right.
you got an amputation.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to do something right away. Do not delay.
So when your mom got diagnosed, I don't know if you know the answer to this question. Was it a late diagnosis for her?
It had to have been an early diagnosis because
okay.
it was, I mean, she had it for over 12 years. So basically, when I went to see my mom just before did they put everything in her? When they put her on life support. Because her heart, she couldn't breathe on her own anymore.
Mm.
And this is before me finding out she had AIDS. It was definitely pneumonia. So I have to tell everybody, that was the kicker.
Right.
If she had caught pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it was a particular pneumonia, right? Like sarcosis, sarcoma, or something?
It's, what is the name? Because this particular kind of pneumonia only happens with people who have acute, you know, or chronic illnesses.
Okay. Okay.
And I remember the doctor saying at that time, that the doctor at the first emergency room, you know, probably didn't pick it up because of the amount of fluid that's in the lungs. He had said there was some reason that they didn't pick up that it was this particular type of pneumonia
okay.
for whatever reason.
Okay.
But when he looked at me, he said, look, your mom has had to have had, you know, had this for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
She said, when she came in and what we're seeing, she said, this is the type of stuff that we saw back in the 80s when we were first finding out about HIV.
Right. Okay.
So he said she had to have known. So
right.
back in, you know, when I found the documentation, I was like, oh my God, this is 2002.
Mm-hmm.
This is 2002. You know, then she died 2004. 14. That's 12 years.
Yeah. So
she
had
lived
to have
with
known.
It.
So another thing that I wanted to pull from the CDC, they said that late diagnosis can occur because healthcare providers may not always test older people for HIV infection.
Oh, wow.
And older people may mistake HIV symptoms for those of normal aging and don't consider HIV as a cause.
Mm.
So here again, maybe your mom did go in and was like, something is going on with me. I need to, you know, and they were like, let me
yeah.
draw some blood. And then she saw it and she's like, okay, how am I going to deal with that? And maybe the main reason, why your mom didn't say anything, and again, I'm just pulling mm-hmm. this from CDC, they said that older people, they feel like there's going to be a stigma attached to them. So the stigma
yeah.
is a particular concern among older Americans because they may already face isolation due to illness. So your mom probably didn't want to feel isolated. I don't know.
And she was a firm believer in, I mean, she did it with the common cold. Like,
mm-hmm.
honey, that's the spirit of infirmity. For people who have been in the church and they know how people talk, girl, that's the spirit of infirmity. I ain't focusing on that. So she would never say, I have a cold.
Right.
And if you tried to say it about yourself, she'd be like, stop saying it.
Right.
So this was, you know, she believed in the power of speech and prayer and faith. Like, you don't say you have those things. Don't claim it.
Right.
I'm not claiming that. That's how she would, I mean, that's real.
Right.
So, you know, people who have a lot of strong faiths and religions, you know, this is, you know, it's kind of the lingo. That's
mm-hmm.
what they say. But at the same time, you can't look at the physical as something that's not spiritual because it's, you know, what they say, quantum physics, they say that matter is pure energy as well. It's just vibrating at a slower rate.
Right.
And it's more dense. You know, it's just the density. That's really all it is.
Okay.
You know, but the physical body, you know, in order for them to use those biofeedback machines in the hospital, they're reading something.
Mm-hmm.
So your body has a bioelectric field, you know, it's a, you know, electric and magnetic.
Right.
And so this is how they're able to get the heart readings and they got these different EKGs that
mm-hmm.
they're doing. It's because your body has an actual energetic system.
Right.
You
right.
know,
right.
So you can't dismiss what to do for the physical body, you know, unless you're some type of a super duper guru healer, bam, you touch them and they're good. But even for the people where they are doing miraculous things, they still tell you to go and do this for your body, get
mm-hmm.
this for your health.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of people out here that are doing different, you know, styles of healing that people are seeing results like right there on the spot, instantaneous. Wow. But they say you still got to get your vitamins, your minerals. I mean, you can't just stop doing these things.
Right.
Basically what it comes down to. And for my mom, even though she was trying that, I don't think she had a full understanding as to what she was dealing with, because she was just trying to, you know, approach it from the spiritual level. So she did a lot of prayer. She did a lot of fasting. She did a lot of chanting. She did all of these different things, but all they did was help to, if anything, they just helped to bring in more light and to help her spirit and her soul to release the physical, because that's what it did. And for the people that were doing the Reiki, you know, I had one particular person, you know, that, you know, she's able to see in the spirit realm, and she said, I don't understand it. I was sending her, energy, and it was just like going into these black holes, and I didn't understand it. And I said, yeah, that's because the body had already shut down. Right. She died from multi-organ failure.
Right.
You know, what the AIDS did, and what people really need to understand about AIDS, just from this perspective of us dealing with it being pneumonia,
right.
You know, it started off as pneumonia, and then the infection spread into her blood, and that's where it became sepsis. Sepsis is blood poisoning.
Right.
And then from there, it went to her other organs, her kidneys, because remember I kept saying, no, she's looking extremely dehydrated. Right, right. Kidneys had shut down first.
Oh,
that was the first thing to go.
Okay. You know, so she was already on her way out.
Her lungs and the heart, she was literally dying. She was literally dying. And with that infection spreading, she was done. And why did this make a difference? Because when I was talking to the doctor, the first thing he said, she's extremely acidic. You heard me early on say, I kept saying, no, mama, you're looking extremely acidic. She's too acidic. Number two, she doesn't even have an immune system. She has no more T cells. It comes from the thyroid.
Okay.
That's why they're called T cells. Right, T stands for thyroid. This is where they mature. There's no immune system.
Nothing there.
So in other words, the antibiotics have nothing to work with. So we're pumping antibiotics into the body, but it's not doing anything because there's nothing there to help support it, to fight the infection. And that's why she ultimately ended up dying.
So you found out 2 days before she passed away.
2 days before.
What was the conversation like for you with her?
Well, she was on life support,
so she couldn't speak.
So her lungs were basically failing.
Okay.
The heart was the last thing to go, but it was her lungs. So because she couldn't breathe, they had to put her on, you know, the thing where the tube goes down.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Trachea, I think. Yeah.
She had to go through that whole bit. So by that time, she couldn't talk. And even before they did that, she was struggling to talk.
So
2 days prior, let's see, it was a Tuesday that I actually got to speak to her. She died that Friday. But that Tuesday, and mind you, this throughout the entire time, remember, my mom is a spiritual person, and she knows my spiritual abilities. She was crying out and asking me to heal her and to take it away, and saying I was the only person that could do it. And I was like, Mama, I've done everything that I know to do.
Right, right. So you never had that conversation with her mom. Why didn't you tell us that you had?
Because at that time, I didn't know. Because it was like that Tuesday. And all I could say was, Mama, I need you to stop talking so you can breathe.
Yeah.
But she gave me her last words at that time. And I had a feeling. I was like, man, why does this feel like this is going to be the last conversation we have?
Yeah.
And it was.
Wow. So we're gonna wrap up. But I want us to wrap up on a note of happiness.
Yes.
Because now that you know what you know about HIV, the elderly, I mean, I wouldn't really call 50-year-olds elderly, but the older generation, the baby boomers who don't want to admit that they have this disease. Hey, you guys got to let your friends and family know that you have it, and we're not going to push you in a corner and exclude you. And I think, you know, now hearing more of your mom's story, I think that's probably what happened. And according, like I said, the CDC says that, you know, when people do get that disease, they feel like there's a stigma attached to it. What's your message for those out there, you know, whether it's somebody who you've seen before or thinking about, you know, they want to get into the holistic measure and hopefully extend their life if they're living with HIV with the proper medication and the proper balance of holistic healing and spiritual healing, et cetera.
The one thing that I will say is that for any imbalance that we're experiencing in the physical, nature has the answer. If you do believe in a higher power, then you cannot think that this higher power has not supplied it somewhere on the planet. You know, a lot of times it's just about having that awareness with us living in the United States, there are a lot of things that they've made illegal that will help, you know. Mm-hmm. Then you have other countries where they're using, you know, whether it's the different herbs or whatever it is that they have found and they've done extensive research with, you know, that will help. So, again, I can't stress it enough. As soon as you find out that you've been diagnosed with anything, especially AIDS or HIV, mm-hmm. you want to do your research. You want to get help. You want to explore. You want to explore, you know, do you want to use like modern medicine or natural medicine, you know, and what specific modalities?
Right.
I think that's the biggest thing right there. Okay. You have to educate yourself on the body and how the body works. Because one thing is for sure, no matter what method you take or what route you take, they're going to be using words and terminologies that you may not even be familiar with. And you'll mm-hmm. be like, and it's just going to be going by you really, really fast. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to literally do a lot of research to understand that. The other thing that I want to say is that somehow you're going to have to learn how to put fear to the side, because that's extremely big. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a huge, huge factor. And I found myself dealing with fear the entire time for my mom and for my daughter.
Okay.
My daughter was mostly because of what I dealt with my mom. I was still, you know, dealing with the traumatization from mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm. you know, but you can't let fear be your guiding factor.
Right.
You need to have a support system where they can help you to stay grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And I do mean a strong support system, not other people who's just as scared as you.
Right.
You know, not saying that we're not going to have our human emotions, but you need to have people who are grounded, and you want to have people who are knowledgeable. Right. Either knowledgeable with what goes down in the hospitals, you know, with the doctors and certain things, which I did have access to mm-hmm. that, you know, for both situations, you know, friends that were nurses or otherwise, and doctors. Actually had a, you know, one of my clients was an infectious disease doctor. I didn't even know that.
Oh, wow.
awesome. And then you want to have, you know, access to people in the holistic field industry that have been doing it for, I'm going to say 15 to 20 years, because mm-hmm. everybody else is a new jack and there's a lot of stuff that they're still learning.
Yeah.
So you don't want to get caught up in a situation where they're talking to your loved one and saying, don't go to the hospital. They don't understand you. Just do some Reiki. You'll be fine. It's like the woman is dying and you're telling her not to go
that's crazy.
To the hospital.
Yeah.
So you want to have people who are, you know, experts in their field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
that makes sense.
So you have a good support system, you know, on a health level and on a personal level,
mm-hmm.
you know, do your research. And if you don't have anything that you do, you know, for your spirit self, because you're going to need it.
Yes, I know.
I promise you are going to need it.
If you don't believe, you better start believing in something.
You better believe in something.
Yes, definitely, for sure. Okay, so Danica, thank you so much for joining me today. Just go ahead and rattle off where people can find you, your website.
Sure.
Are you on Facebook? Are you on Twitter? Go ahead.
Sure,
This is yours.
And I'm actually in the process of remapping and recreating what I do, because I'm... because of that experience with my mother and really just feeling like the holistic health industry, you know, especially where they're dealing with energy medicine, metaphysics and so forth, is just too floaty for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not on a level where people can really connect with it with everyday living situations.
Mm-hmm.
So my website, and I'm saying all this to say, because what you see right now is not how it's going to be, you know, later on, but
okay.
Eternal Elevation, and it's eternal-elevation.com.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to find everything there.
Good.
I have almost 200 YouTube videos with the link for all of that.
On YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
So I have the link for that on my website as well.
Okay. What's the name of your YouTube channel?
The YouTube channel, it may be under my my spiritual name, Kalarius Phoenix, and that's K-E-L. A-R-I-U-S.
Okay.
And Phoenix is F-I-N-E-X.
All right. I'll find it and
I've been everywhere. Like, even if you Google me, I've done lots of interviews, videos everywhere. I have articles. You know,
and now you have a podcast.
And another one.
Now you have another podcast. Yes, better said than written.
So
Arts
I'm
and
there.
Eternal
hyphen elevation. Everything is literally right there. How to contact me. It's, you know, you can email me from there and everything.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Thank you so much. And I don't want to wait until something else dramatic happens. So I might circle back with you when, you know, everything balances out and, you know, we talk about, I don't know, eating healthy and more miso soup.
Right?
So, yes. All right, Danica, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
and hope,
you.
I hope everybody joins us back here. And this wraps up another edition of Better Said Than Written.